Okay, we'll discuss now with Mr. Shem the halachas of how to choose a lulav. The first thing we need to present is a basic machlokas between the Shulchan Aruch, meaning the Mechaber, and the Ramah, regarding the whole concept of the psulim of a lulav. There are many psulim discussed in the Gemara. The Mechaber says that all these psulim apply only to either the shedra, which is the spine of the lulav, or the majority of the leaves of the lulav. This is very uncommon today. It doesn't exist. It only existed in previous generations when they had to transport the lulav from one place to another, and transportation means were not very efficient. It became dry, banged up, etc. Today, someone who goes with the mechaber can go into the marketplace, take the first lulav that comes to his hand, and it's kosher l'mehadrin. There's no problem. The Ramah, however, says that all the halachos of the Gemara apply also to the tiyomis. What is the tiyomis? The lulav has a spine with leaves coming out on either side. Each leaf is a double leaf, which is connected from the back. The top leaf of the spine is considered the tiyomis. It's right here. And the Ramah says that all the halachas apply to the tiyomis individually if there's a problem with the tiyomis. Therefore, all the halachas that we're going to be discussing from now on are only according to the Ramah. We'll start off with the problem which is by far the most common, which is nechlekah ha-tiyomis. The tiyomis, nechlekah ha-tiyomis, if the back which connects the two leaves, if it is split, so then that is considered nechlekah ha-tiyomis. What is the shear? So it depends how much of the tiyomis is split. If it's a rove, which means the majority, how do we measure a majority? We find the tiyomis, which is the top middle leaf, and we measure it from the bottom of the leaf, which is the top of the spine, all the way to the top of the leaf. From here to here is the tiyomis. If the tiyomis is split a majority of this length, that is called that the nechlekah tiyomis is a rove. The halacha then is that on Yom Tov it's pasul, on Chol HaMoed it's kosher but not mehudar. It's kosher because, according to most opinions, it's only considered that it's not a lekicha tama, it's not a complete lekicha, it's not a complete species, and we only need a complete species on Yom Tov and not on Chol HaMoed. However, it's not mehudar because we take into account some opinions that say it's a lack of hadar, which according to the Ramah is all 7 days. Even though the halacha is not like that opinion, but we take that into account. Sometimes, even if a miut, a minority of the tiyomis is split, it depends how far apart they go. If it's nechlek, if it's in nista kehimnek, a hemnek is a compass which you make circles with in geometry. So if it's split like a hemnek, which means that it looks like a Y or a V, the two parts of the leaf that are split go in different directions, then even if it's a minority of the lulav, and indeed even if it's only a tiny bit of the lulav in the length, but the two parts of the leaf go in opposite directions, so then the same halachas apply, and it's pasul on Yom Tov, and on Chol HaMoed it's kosher, but it is not mehudar. We don't have a very clear definition of how far apart, how many degrees apart, the two leaves need to be in order to be considered a hemnek. But we definitely know that if they go up together, so then if the back is split, it's called a nechlekah tiyomis, but not nistikah hemnek. A lot of care needs to be given when checking a lulav if it's nechlekah tiyomis, and if even a little bit is nistikah hemnek, because these are by far the most common problems. Now, what happens if only a minority of the tiyomis is nechlek? Which means, from when you measure the tiyomis from here to here, so a little bit is split, a minority, not the majority. So, once it's a minority, it's kosher. However, some say that it's a mitzvah min ha-mukhras recommended to be hesitant about a miut that's kosher, a meat that's split, even though it's kosher, because we are concerned that when a person shakes the lulav, so then that split will become bigger. Therefore, poskim recommend taking a lulav that is not nistak, even not nechlekat yomis, even a minority. So it's a mitzvah ben a mufchar. Some say the Taz says that the mitzvah ben a mufchar is that it should be less than the tefach of nechlekat yomis, and the Chayyadim says that a mitzvah ben a mufchar is it should be closed all the way to the top. And many people spend time trying to find a lulav that it's closed all the way to the top. Poskim tell us an interesting way that we can take a lulav and make it kosher, is that they bring an analogy from the halachas of shofar. The halacha in shofar is that if it's split vertically, so then even a little split, it already disqualifies the shofar, because we are concerned that when one blows with the shofar, it will cause the split to continue until the whole shofar is split. Says the Shulchan Aruch that if you have a shofar like that, that has a vertical split, but you tie it in such a way that the split cannot continue, the shofar is kosher. Poskim say, therefore, that we can apply the same to lulav, and therefore, if you have a lulav that the nechlekah hatyomes is only a mute, a minority, you can take glue and tape and glue together those two pieces, so we know it's not going to be split anymore, and then the lulav becomes kosher umahuder, because the split cannot become any bigger. So, to summarize, the nechlekah hatyomes, it is mahuder if it's split, if it's not split at all. If it's split a tefach, less than a tefach, less than 4 inches, about 3-4 inches, so some say even that's sufficient to be mahuzah, but post can say as long as it's split only a minority, if you glue it together, it's kosher and mahuzah. Cure must be taken, this only helps if nechelkat yomis is in the minority, but if the lulav is already puzzled because the majority was split, or because even if a minority was split, it is nista kehemet, as long as it's already puzzled, so then glue will not help to make this lulav kosher. Let's move along. There's sometimes you'll find a lulav that is covered with kare. Kare is a reddish brown substance that grows. You can see like a little bit here throughout the lulav. You have this reddish brown substance, and sometimes it grows on top of the leaves and holds the leaves together. According to some opinions, this kare is considered like glue that keeps the leaves together, and therefore it's kasher and mahuder, and Gedolei Torah were so much on this and said a lulav with kare is fantastic, I don't need to look any further. However, other poskim are hesitant about using it because they say the kare, perhaps it's not considered a glue that keeps the leaves together, and therefore we have to know what is the lulav without the kare. Since we can't know because kare is covering it, they recommend not using such a lulav. Yavesh. What happens if the top leaf of the chomis is yavesh? According to the Ramah doesn't discuss it. However, some poskim say that if the very top of the chomis is dry, so possibly according to the Ravid, it is possible. The Ravid really never discusses it. He only discusses if the whole lulav is yavesh, is dry, and the top chomis is not dry. He says it's kosher. Some poskim extrapolate that if it would be the opposite case, that only the top chomis is dry, the lulav would be possible. Other poskim say that this, they argue this extrapolation, and they say even according to the Ravid, it's kosher. I do want to point out that sometimes the sun burns the top and it becomes a little bit sunburned and red, and that is not considered yavesh. Yavesh is only truly dry. Zigzag. Some lulavim have a zigzag on top. Poskim say this does not disqualify the lulav, it's kosher and mahuder. But if you have a lulav that's a zigzag, you should give special attention to check if it is if it's nechlekat yomis or nistakehemek, because these psulim are very common in the zigzag where the connection is not very strong. A single leaf. If the tiomet had only one leaf, then it would be pasul. Unquestionably, according to the Ramah. The question comes up, what happens when it has two leaves, but one of the leaves is smaller than the other? So then the question is, in which direction? If one leaf is thin and the other one is wide, so then we say that if the thinner leaf covers the majority of the wide leaf, it is kosher. What happens when one leaf is shorter than the other? So then we get into a little bit of a machlokas. Some say that it is pasul only if the shorter leaf is considerably shorter than the taller leaf, and in such a way that it looks like it's inappropriate for the length. It looks like it's missing a lot. But if it looks like it's basically the same height, so that's good enough. However, Rav Yashiv is of the opinion that even if it's a little bit shorter, one leaf is a little bit shorter than the other, that is enough to disqualify the lulav, and it's considered like one leaf, because the other leaf that's shorter is not counted. The shear of the lulav. How big must the lulav be? So, the lulav needs to be 4 tfachim. That's according to all opinions. How much is 4 tfachim? So according to the largest shear, it is 40 centimeters, which is 15.75 inches. The place where it's measured is from the bottom of the spine to the top of the spine. From the bottom of the spine means from the place where leaves still come out. So for example, in this lulav that I'm holding, if these leaves were missing, you would, even though the spine goes still here, but you could only be able to measure from here where the leaves actually start coming out. This is the bottom part where you start measuring. The top part is to the top of the spine, not the top of the lulav. So you have to find where the tiomet comes out. This is the top of the spine. This is where the measurement ends. So you need 4 tfachim from here down. That's 15.75 inches, 40 centimeters. There is a possibility that smaller shiurim can also be used. However, it is so common to find a lulav that has this shear that I don't think it's necessary to discuss smaller shiurim. I do want to point out that when you bind the hadasim and the aravas to the lulav, you should leave a tefach, one tefach, which is about 10 centimeters, 3-4 inches, on top of the lulav, above the hadasim. So, for example, in this lulav, we would take a tefach, which is roughly the width of a palm. The lulav goes up to here. Take the lulav goes up to here. Take your tefach down to here. The hadasim, when they are bound to the lulav, should not be higher than this point in order to allow a free tefach of the lulav for the shaking. Knepel. A knepel is a button. It means that the top of the lulav curves over and is bent. You'll be able to see a picture on the site. When the top of the lulav is bent, so the Rush said he likes those lulavim especially because the two leaves will not come apart. Some posts can say that it is not good because it's considered a kafuf rosho. The halacha is that it's kosher. The Shulchan Aruch says that it's kosher. And therefore, one who wants to use it, there's a Shulchan Aruch, it's kosher, it's fine to use. It's not so mahudar because some poskim say that it's not good. Contemporary poskim tell us that the problem is only if it's bent all the way down and the top of the tiomet actually curves towards downwards. But if it's only partially bent, so then the poskim who disqualify because of nichbat kafuf rosho will say that it's not a problem in such a scenario, and therefore it is kosher lemahadrin according to all opinions. Niktam rosho. Niktam rosho means that the top of the tiomet is missing. It was cut off. If even a tiny bit of the tiomet is missing, it is a serious problem, and the lulav should be disqualified, should not be used all 7 days. However, if one looks from very close and he cannot tell if there's something missing or not, then he doesn't have to be concerned about it, because the whole problem is that it lacks hadar, it lacks beauty. But if even when looking you can't tell that it's missing, so then it's not considered to be detracting from the beauty. B'shas adchak, when no other lulav is available, you may say a bracha on a lulav that niktam rosho, that the top is cut off, as long as most of the leaf is still there. And last we will talk about akum, about a bent lulav. If a lulav is bent, so if it's bent, it's kosher, unless it's very, very bent. The lulav that I have here is slightly bent, and it is not nearly enough to be considered disqualified because of bending. It's only if it's bent like a sickle, like a half circle, then it's a problem. Even then, if it's bent backwards, which means the lulav has the spine and has the front, the spine is called the back. If it's bent backwards towards the spine, then it is kosher. The only problem of a bent lulav is if it's bent not backwards, one of the other directions, and it's a very pronounced curve. You will not find a lulav that has that problem in the marketplace, and therefore it's not an issue. There are some people that when they come to pick up a lulav and check it, they'll pick it up and check if it's straight like a rifle, but poskim do not mention this as a necessity for lulav, and therefore it's not an issue in halacha. Thank you.